Welcome, everyone, to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone, the lead fantasy analyst at the Score. It is great to be back. We've been gone for a couple of weeks here, and that's because, I mean, full disclosure, I was off for part of February. That's basically the only time that I can unplug, at least guilt-free anyway. So since there's normally not much going on in February, that is a nice time to do it. And we didn't have the combine this year, so that allowed me to take even a little bit more time off, especially near the end of the month there. So I didn't miss too much, it seems like. There was that Carson Wentz trade, which really that one seems like it's great news for everybody involved. It gives Wentz a chance to recapture some of that early career success that he had when Frank Reich was his OC. Now Frank Reich, his head coach in Indy, gets to play behind a strong offensive line again, and one that at least hopefully won't get hurt nonstop like Philly's offensive line the last couple of years here. And there's some pretty intriguing weapons in Indy, right? It's not just Jonathan Taylor in the backfield. You got Michael Pittman, you got Paris Campbell, young, talented wideouts who haven't really shown us their ceilings yet. I expect good things for them. Campbell's just been crushed by injuries in his first 2 years. You got Pittman, could be that big-bodied, Alshon Jeffrey-type receiver that Wentz seemed to like in Philly. And I would just, the thing is, I would keep my expectations in check for that Colts passing game. And it's not because I don't think they're going to be good. I think that's going to be a good team, a good offense. But I do think they're still going to try to lean on the run. I don't think they're going to want to put their quarterback in bad situations. You saw that's what they did with Phillip Rivers this year, right? They didn't want to put him in bad spots. So I like the talent. Fantasy-wise, though, you got Taylor that's an elite option, absolutely. And then Pittman, Campbell, they're going to be good. They just might not be consistent starters for your fantasy squad, right? They'll be good games, but it's kind of like we saw in Indy this year. They're going to spread the ball around. We might not see any one receiver have that dominant target total week in and week out. Still, it's a very smart trade for the Colts. Match Wentz back up with Reich. We'll see if that can kickstart Wentz's career. And then meanwhile, maybe the more exciting aspect of all this for fantasy anyway, Jalen Hurts being unleashed in Philly's offense. He's another guy that we look for these guys every single year. Another guy that has that top five potential thanks to that rushing ability. You pretty much have to have the rushing ability in order to crack that top five or top seven maybe quarterbacks fantasy-wise. Last year, averaged 68 rushing yards per game over that final month when he got into the starting spot. Had 3 rushing touchdowns during that time. He's got a long way to go as a passer, I know. And he's going to have to deal with the same problems that plagued Wentz. They're still there, right? The offensive line is older. They tend to get injured quite a bit. The receivers are unproven. They're going to need help there still. But Hurts is going to be on my list of high upside quarterbacks to target this season, assuming his ADP doesn't rise beyond the range that I want to go even near him. If it goes out of control, then maybe not. But if he's in that 9th round or later range, I will definitely have a lot of shares of Hurts. And he should stay in that range because there's so many good quarterbacks out there this year, which is another reminder. I've been telling people this like crazy. I've been telling friends. I've been telling people who follow me on Twitter, on social media. Change your league to 2 quarterback or super flex. It is the best way to go. I think you could even consider 2 tight ends. I saw somebody suggest that maybe last year. And at the time, I was like, I don't really know if I'm interested in that. But these one-off positions, it makes them so much more interesting if you make them 2 starters at those spots. With tight ends, you'd have to make it that you absolutely have to start 2 players. Otherwise, nobody's going to do it. But it's just a way to add another wrinkle to your league. But let's keep moving on here. That's enough about the Wentz deal. You're probably sick of hearing about it. I know it was a couple weeks ago, but I never really got my chance to give you my thoughts on it. So I'm just trying to get caught up here. We'll have plenty of time to dissect that deal over the offseason, what it means for all those players and the changes that happen in free agency and the draft. I mean, it's going to shake things up over the next couple weeks with free agency here. And the draft gives us that another speed bump down the road that we got to deal with on the way of the fantasy season. But I'm glad you're riding along with me today. I jumped right back into things this week. I updated my redraft rankings, gave you the March update there so you can see where I have guys like Wentz, Hurts, where they're ranked now. I also updated my Dynasty Trade Value chart, and I actually, to be honest, I have more fun doing that this time of year than doing the redraft rankings. So hopefully you're using that chart, figuring out some trades you can make before that insanity of free agency begins. And I want to continue to get caught up here. I'm going to get to some of your questions. I asked you guys on Twitter for questions. Got some really good ones. We'll get to those at the end. But I want to continue to get caught up. We'll go through the latest news, maybe do a little lightning round. I'll try to get through it as fast as I can so that we can get up to speed on what it means for the fantasy landscape. And then we'll get to your questions at the end of the show. So I talked about the Stafford trade in the last podcast before the break. Now we touched on Wentz. Now we're just waiting to see if Deshaun Watson and or Russell Wilson get traded here. I mean, those would be bigger deals. And right now, it seems like the Seahawks are a little more interested in talking to teams. There's been some reports, ESPN's Diana Russini saying that Seattle's been taking calls for Wilson. Still seems like that cap hit would be a problem, though. It would be such a massive cap hit. I think too much for them to trade him away, but we'll see. And then Watson, he's made it clear he wants out of Houston. The Texans front office, they continue to say they don't want to move him. So you have this stalemate that we're dealing with that it could be scary. This could last into the regular season. That is a possibility. But either way, I've bumped down the Texans skill position players quite a bit, to be honest. And that's keeping in mind, they have Will Fuller, who's hitting free agency. Brandon Cooks, he has the upside. He's done it before. But the concussion issues, they're scary. Kiki Cutie, Chad Hansen, those guys had some big games this year for sure. But if we're not confident that Deshaun Watson is going to be under center this season, can you really feel good about those guys? And they just released Duke Johnson. They restructured David Johnson's deal. But how interested are you in David Johnson? We know he's going to see a good workload, but the guy's going to turn 30 during the season. His birthday's in December. And he could be getting handoffs from a far less talented quarterback than he had last season. Because to me, it feels like there's only one way this is going to end, and that's with Watson in a new uniform. And I just hope that Houston eventually comes to terms with that and the fact that he is not interested in playing for them anymore, because the sooner that happens, the more they're going to get for him in a deal. We don't want to see Watson end up on the field and pull a James Harden and essentially tank his value before the team is then forced to trade him and they get 50 cents on the dollar or something like that, right? As much as we can bag on the Texans and how bad that organization has been run at times over the last few years, you still want to see them get fair value for such a star player like that, right? And when you're looking at teams he could go to, I mean, I would love to see him go to Carolina. He's got ties there from his college days, some great weapons. You know, we'll see what they do in the offseason. They got an owner, though, who doesn't seem afraid to be aggressive, right? This is a guy who could go out and make that big deal, give away a lot of assets in order to secure that star quarterback. And that's what it's going to take. It's going to take a team going all in to get him out of Houston. So I kind of doubt that Russ gets moved, but Watson, it just seems like a foregone conclusion. Just a matter of time here before Texans management realizes it. But I mean, they realized it with JJ Watt. They cut him loose, and now he's chilling with DeAndre Hopkins on a Cardinals team that now looks like they could be contenders this year, right? We'll see what they do in the offseason, but that's a team that is very enticing to potential free agents. They might want to join that. We saw what happened in Tampa when Brady went there last year. Now you have Hopkins. Now you have Watt joining the mix there. Kyler Murray. It's a pretty exciting team in Arizona. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens over these next couple weeks, even before free agency gets here, because there's going to be more cuts coming. It's not just from the Texans. All 32 teams, Diana Russini had another report that it's going to be a bloodbath next week as teams try to just cope with the falling salary cap due to COVID last year. So we could see a lot of big names hit the market, a lot of surprising names on the chopping block as well, with GMs just doing whatever they can to get under the cap before free agency. And you have to remember, that's also going to make it hard for teams like Green Bay to sign their free agents, right? You have to remember that when you look at a guy like Aaron Jones, as much as they might want him back, you have Aaron Rodgers saying he wants him back. Unless they use the franchise tag, which actually for running backs this year, it's not that bad. It's like around $8 million or something. But still, they have a cheaper option in A.J. Dillon, who they drafted last year, really for this specific situation, I would imagine, right? As the fallback option, just in case they couldn't get a deal done with Jones. So we might see Jones on a new club in a few weeks, which would be kind of exciting for fantasy. I don't really want to see him go anywhere. I think Green Bay is his best spot, but I think there's a good chance we're going to see him on another team this year. And even if we want to stick in that division, we already saw Kyle Rudolph got released, longtime tight end for the Vikings. But guess what? similar situation as the Green Bay running backs. They drafted a replacement a couple years ago in Irv Smith Jr., and now he's ready to roll. I mean, I would argue that he was already ready to roll last year and they didn't really unleash him, but Rudolph had to restructure his contract last season just to come back. Now this year, they straight up just said goodbye to him this time. And there's already been rumors of him interested in the Browns and the Patriots. I'm not sure if there's any truth to those as potential landing spots, but Patriots definitely could use some help and maybe somebody to even mentor Devin Asiasi and Dalton Keene, their young tight ends, get a guy in there who knows what he's doing, who's had some success in the league. And Rudolph, he isn't washed up. I'm not suggesting he's going to come in there and only be the mentor. He could still be a red zone threat. And in an offense like the Patriots, where they desperately need playmakers in that passing game, yeah, Rudolph would be a nice pickup for them. Not somebody I'm going to get overly excited about for fantasy, but he could be a spot starter, bye-week replacement kind of guy, depending on his landing spot. So we'll keep an eye on that. As for free agency rumors, there's been plenty, but let's focus on the big names for now. It sounds like contract talks between Dak Prescott and the Cowboys are going pretty well. Calvin Watkins of the Dallas Morning News, he said that, he reported that things improved, that they had some progress on Tuesday this week, I believe. And I've always been of the mind here that Dak is eventually going to sign a deal with Dallas. The Cowboys aren't going to let him walk, not without another option in-house there. So I'm projecting that offense is going to be one of the better offenses in the league with Dak back at the helm, assuming he's healthy. I did hear Evan Silva, friend of the show, one of the co-founders over at Establish the Run, he mentioned a report this week that Dak needed a second ankle surgery, so something to watch. But once again, I don't have a lot of concern here. Dak should be healthy, playing under a new contract in September, and that makes you pretty excited about that offense all around. We've also got a lot of speculation about who could get franchise tags. As of this recording, nobody has been tagged yet, but in addition to Aaron Jones, who we already talked about, we got Kenny Golladay, Allen Robinson, reports that those guys could get that dreaded one-year contract just forced upon them. And like I said, well, I would like to see Jones back in Green Bay. I think that's the best spot for him. With Robinson and Golladay, I want them to hit the open market, but it doesn't seem like that's going to happen. Maybe at best we see a sign-and-trade kind of deal. But with Robinson, I mean, I think at some point he's just going to demand a trade. If they try to tag him, I think he's going to try to force his way out of Chicago unless the Bears get wild and go for one of these big name quarterbacks like Watson or Wilson. Apparently Russ had Chicago on his list of destinations that he would be willing to go to. It was the Cowboys, the Saints, the Raiders, and the Bears, according to Adam Schefter, but it'll be brutal. If we have to watch Allen Robinson fight through another season with bad quarterback play, if they don't get a Russ or a Watson in Chicago, and if he doesn't get out of that organization and doesn't have a chance to sign with another team that actually has a good quarterback, man, that is going to be brutal to see. And I'm telling you, if I had one wish in free agency, it might be that Allen Robinson gets paired up with a quality quarterback. I would just love to see that for once. What else do we have here news-wise? Myles Gaskin, it's looking like he's going to be replaced as the starter in Miami. And I'll admit, I had high hopes for him in my initial offseason rankings. I had him pretty high. He played so well last year, right? He came through for them. But ESPN's Cameron Wolf says that it would be a shock at this point if the Dolphins don't bring in a new starter at running back. They have the cap space. I think they have the 9th most money available. They also have the draft capital, 4 picks in the top 50. Aaron Jones has been linked to them as a possibility, but we could easily see them spend an early second round pick. They have the 36th overall pick. That's prime territory for a guy like Travis Etienne or Najee Harris. Could get one of those guys in that range, and man, they would be a nice addition to that offense. So I've moved Gaskin way down my redraft rankings and my dynasty rankings as well. He's a very risky bet right now. There's also been a couple reporters suggesting that Jameis Winston is the likely starter in New Orleans if he re-signs there. And I just want to caution everyone, because I know the Saints quarterback, it's been a great spot for fantasy with Breeze there for a while. And Taysom Hill, he used his rushing ability, put up some good numbers last year in fantasy. Heck, 2 years ago, we even saw Teddy Bridgewater post 12th most fantasy points among quarterbacks during that 5-game stretch that he was starting when Breeze was hurt. But this year, it's a muddy situation, right? First, you have the possibility that Jameis could just sign somewhere else. It's not a guarantee that he's going back to New Orleans. Even if he does sign with the Saints, there's no guarantee it's his job, right? Taysom Hill could beat him out in camp. They've also kind of said there's been reports that it would still be an open competition. I think people are still just assuming that Jameis would win that when it wasn't just a mid-season thing where he hadn't been with the team as long as Taysom Hill, and maybe they wanted to see what they had in Taysom Hill. There's also a possibility that it could turn into more of a split even than we saw with Breeze and Hill, right? Where Hill was coming in for the red zone a little bit and they were mixing him in. What if we see a situation where it's more 50-50 or 60-40 where Hill gets a lot of play and then Jameis is taking snaps there as well? We could also see Jameis start and just not be as effective as we've seen him be for fantasy in the past, right? Michael Thomas is good, but this isn't a situation with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and that YOLO-style ball that they were playing in Tampa with Jameis, right? The Saints, they can lean on their rushing attack. They've been doing that with Breeze the last couple of years. They can lean on that defense as well. Their defense is much better than it has been in the past. It's gotten much better over the last couple of years, and it's much better than the defense that Jameis was dealing with when he was the starter with the Bucs. I know they started to get a little better in 2019, but they really hit their stride this year. That wasn't a great defense prior to that. So, you know, even if that happens, I don't think that Sean Payton is going to just go YOLO ball here and set Jameis free if he gets the starting job. I think they're still going to play within themselves. So we could see Breeze return. I mean, I'm just having all these things pop into my head, these possibilities here. I know Breeze hasn't announced his retirement yet. There's videos of him pushing sleds through parking lots. That's not exactly the look of a guy that's getting ready to announce his retirement. So maybe Breeze wants to prove he can go another year, convince the front office. Not that, I mean, if he says he wants back, I'm sure they're going to bring him back. But he's doing that for a reason, and I don't think it's just because he's trying to get more social media followers. So we also have a long shot that, yeah, maybe Russ or someone ends up there. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that's an extreme long shot. But Russ did have them on his list, right? So there's a chance something like that could go down. So I have the Saints quarterbacks ranked pretty low, I think, probably compared to other people, because I got a little bit of flack for having Taysom Hill as low as I did and Jameis as low as I did. I'm not really going near them outside of just dart throws in best ball leagues right now. Until we get more information, I don't feel great about having those guys on my roster. We'll talk more about free agent landing spots, predictions in next week's show. But I will point you back to, we did a free agency preview. Not that much has changed since January when we did it. I tried to get out ahead and make sure everybody got a head start on everyone else in their leagues. So we did that in January. You can go back and check that out. We went over all the big names and what we could see happen there. For now, though, it's time to get to your questions. And we got a lot of good ones, which is nice considering the time of year. I mean, I was a little bit worried that it would just end up being like 100 dynasty trade questions, which would be fine. I would love doing that, but it might not make for the best listening experience for everyone else. We might sneak a couple of those in, but let's start off with at Mark John and a whole bunch of numbers. Joe Mixon, an RB1 or RB2? That's a tough question because there's a few different factors at play here. Is Mixon talented enough to be an RB1 in fantasy? Absolutely. No question about that. He played in 6 games last year. Through those 6 games, he was tied for RB13 in fantasy points per game. So right there, we've seen him really be on that fringe of RB1, and we've seen him produce in the past. This guy can get it done as a top 10 fantasy running back. Plus, we can feel good about that offense improving, in part because Joe Burrow is going to be better in his second season, but also they should continue to invest in the pieces around him, including that offensive line. So that helps Mixon too. But the reason that I have Mixon outside of my top 12, it's not really his fault. I have him at RB14, so just outside, that's in half PPR. But it's because the competition at running back, and I don't mean on the Bengals roster, I mean across the league, there's a ton of high-end running backs occupying that top 12. It's hard to get Mixon much higher on this list. I mean, he's on the fringe. He definitely could be a top 10 guy if things go well in Cincy this year and if he stays healthy, which, I mean, that goes without saying. We could say that for every single running back. At Jay Onright Stash, Deebo Samuel, buy, sell, hold. I'm holding on Deebo. One of the reasons, I mean, he was so good as a rookie down the stretch, and one of the reasons for that was just because of the lack of target competition in that receiving core, right? You had George Kittle there, but other than that, there wasn't much. Now you have Brandon Ayuk, who I think he's a better receiver than Deebo. He profiles as more of a number one based on what we saw last year. Deebo can be the 1B or the number two receiver. Now, is Kyle Shanahan going to find ways to get Deebo the ball to capitalize on that run after catch ability? For sure. But now you have Ayuk, You have Kittle. Who knows what else you're going to add this offseason? So Debo isn't going to dominate targets, and that lowers his ceiling. I still want pieces of that 49ers offense, though, so that's why I say hold. At D underscore Avidalen, where is the best landing spot for Aaron Jones, and where would A.J. Dillon rank as the feature back in Green Bay? I said it earlier, I think the best landing spot is Green Bay. I hope he stays there. If not, there's only so many teams that can go out and get a running back like that, because there's only so many teams that have the money to do it this year, and also so many teams that have the desire to pay a running back, and it seems like Miami's one of them. And we saw Myles Gaskin produce in that role last year, so imagine what Jones could do in that offense, especially if that Dolphins offensive line develops a little bit after they started so many rookies last year. We should see some development from them. And with that money, with those picks, maybe they invest a little in that offensive line. So I think Miami would be a great landing spot, if not Green Bay. And then as far as Dillon goes, I kind of already have Dillon ranked as if he's going to be the starter, because I still, like I said earlier, I think, as much as I want him to stay, I think Jones is going to end up leaving because of the salary cap constraints. So I have Dillon ranked just outside of RB20. And I think that's where he should be right now, as a low-end RB2. We haven't completely seen him in the role, but he's a guy that has a lot of talent, and he flashed in limited opportunities last year. So he's somebody I'd be pretty excited about if he ends up getting that starting role. At JM Pruitt, what do we think about N'Keal Harry now? Listen, we took our shot on a first-round receiver who was hurt as a rookie, and then last year he was going to be a sophomore. We thought, all right, this is his chance to get something done. They bring in Cam Newton. Guess what? He didn't show that much. Not enough to think that he's going to evolve into a difference maker at this point. So I'm losing hope. Where I'm at right now, I really am losing hope. And the problem is, in Dynasty, you're not going to get that much for him. So he's kind of a hold as well. I don't think you should trade him for, you know, a third round pick or something like that. I would probably still hold at this point. I do have him in some leagues. I talked about that in the offseason last year. I went out and acquired him a couple places. I would hold and just kind of cross your fingers and hope that a new quarterback and another full NFL offseason, maybe that can help him refine his game. Because right now, he looks lost in the field, you know, and certainly doesn't look like the player he was in college. And that normally means we're witnessing a bust, but, you know, the Patriots offense wouldn't be shocking if it turned out they whiffed on another receiver prospect, but they're going to still give him a lot of opportunity. Hopefully he can come through this year. At R. Buckley Jr. DFS, thanks to your guidance, I was able to win the ship last season. You're very welcome. In order to do so, I traded away my first round and sixth round picks in this year's draft. So my question is, who would your keeper be out of these options? 12-team Superflex. Stephon Diggs in the fifth, Joe Burrow in the fifth, or Ryan Tannehill in the eighth? Should mention PPR and QBs fly off the board. That is a close one. I would be curious, though, how it would work with both the Diggs and Burrow being fifth-round keepers, whether that's a problem or not. I know in at least one of the leagues I'm in, if you're trying to keep two guys that are in the same round, then you'd have to move around up. So that would mean you'd have to use a fourth rounder in order to keep the second, fifth round player. If that's the case, then I'm going with Burrow and Tannehill, who I think have a pretty good shot both to be top 12 quarterbacks this year. If there's a reasonable way that you can keep Diggs and Burrow, like trading for another fifth rounder at a good price, if you can do that, I would go with Diggs, who has wide receiver one overall upside, right? We saw it last year. He could be the number one receiver and take home that crown in fantasy. And then Burrow, who we all have to expect that he's going to be a fantasy star, not just this year, but for a long time. The guy looked great as a rookie before he got hurt. At Shill21, what's your favorite sport and why besides football? All right, our first non-fantasy question. I like it. When I was younger, I would have to say it was hockey and soccer, but since high school, it's been football first, and then basketball was second. And if I were ever to switch sports, this might surprise some people, but if I were ever to switch sports, it would be to cover basketball without a doubt. And I'm not sure that I have a great reason for you. When I was younger, I played hockey, I played soccer. So, you know, I was drawn to those before I signed up for football. As I got older, and by older, I mean, I'm in my 30s, so I'm not some wise old man looking back here, but basketball was by far the most enjoyable game to watch, and I just love consuming that game now. I mean, there's a lot of personalities, a lot of stars, and I think a big part of it is them allowing the players to be themselves and to go head-to-head in the court. You see some of those superstar matchups just right in front of your face every single night. Seems like every team has stars in the league. So I don't know if that's a great reason. I mean, that's where I stand with it. I would also put MMA and boxing up there still. Still a sucker for those big cards. You know, even though the star power might be lacking a little bit these days, I still really like getting up for those big cards. At Blitzwing091, what do you think of James Robinson's upside if Lawrence is a hit like Burrow or Herbert? Well, if you look at my updated rankings, you'll see I have Robinson as a low-end RB1. I have an RB11. The guy finished with the 8th most fantasy points per game last year, so if he remains the starter, and I expect him to, he's already proven he can handle the workload, he can produce high-end numbers, he worked well as a pass catcher, so he's got that all-around game, he averaged 3.5 receptions per game last year. The guy just did it all. The only thing hanging over his head is that he's undrafted, so the worry here is that if he comes out, if he struggles, will they decide to go in a different direction at that point? Does he have a shorter leash than somebody with high draft capital? Yeah, for sure he does. But what more could this guy have done to establish himself? And with Lawrence coming in, Robinson could honestly be a top five running back. That might not be a popular thing to say, but he has that kind of upside if he gets the same kind of volume, if Lawrence comes in and is solid. I see him being more in that low-end RB1 range. I think that's where he'll end up, but the upside is there. This guy was very impressive, and at some point, even though you have to keep it in the back of your mind that he was undrafted, at some point, you got to forget about what happened in the pre-draft process and just recognize the talent and the opportunity that he's getting on the field right now. At Tim Wyatt, 17, what are your thoughts on Irv Smith now that Kyle Rudolph has been released? Can he be a top 10 option at the position? He absolutely could be a top 10 option in my dynasty trade chart, which came out the day that Rudolph was released. So I had a chance to actually see that and update it before it went out. I moved Smith to tight end 10 in dynasty, and in redraft, I haven't updated it yet, but he'll be on the fringe tight end 1, tight end 2, probably in that high end tight end 2 range. And the problem is it all comes down to volume. In Minnesota's offense, will Smith get enough work with Jefferson, with Thielen, with Cook? And I wouldn't even discount Tyler Conklin. I mean, he's flashed at times. I would think that part of the reason that they're okay with dropping Rudolph, aside from just salary cap stuff, is that Conklin has done some things at times. Yeah, he's not been a fantasy contributor, really, but he's a guy that showed that he could produce for them as that second tight end when you bump Irv Smith into the number one spot. So yes, talent-wise, Smith is a top 10 guy. Is he going to get the volume? I'm not so sure this year, which definitely holds him back a little bit. It holds him back from taking a massive leap and from me putting him in the top, you know, 6 or 7, which talent-wise, he really could be up there. That's all for today's show, though. Next week, like I said, I'll be going back over the free agency predictions. We'll bring in a couple special guests with us. Make sure you tune into that one. But until then, big thanks in advance to all the national reporters, all the beat writers out there. It's going to be a busy couple weeks here. You're going to be pulling double duty, getting us all that information. We appreciate the hard work you're putting in. Big thanks to everybody out there for listening, and we will see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby. Said leave on time. Leave on time with me tonight. Said leave on time.